I'm Marie Bernard, host of Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Join me Mondays at noon to start your week feeling uplifted and optimistic. Let's tap into the universal energy that connects us all. Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Mondays at noon on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver. Hello and welcome to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and today, well, first of all, tomorrow is Valentine's Day, so happy Valentine's Day, and we have a very special guest on the show. I've actually been looking forward to this interview for quite a while, basically since I first read her book. I'm talking today with Cindy Liu. She's the author of The Four-Man Plan, A Romantic Science. So welcome to the show, Cindy Liu.
Thank you, Maria. I've been excited to talk to you, too.
Yay. And you have, your website is thefourmanplan.com.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a Facebook group.
Yes, it's closed, though. That's for active four-man planners.
Yes. Well, I'm not
we want a dish in there, you know.
Yeah.
We don't want too many people in there that aren't participating in the plan. So get on the plan and then join our group and jump right in.
Exactly. Well, I've read the book. I've done, I'll give a little bit of background about what happened is over the summer, I had this passionate / dramatic love affair, and I broke up with him. We broke up in September, and I was on Facebook basically boo-hooing about it, and some woman was like, oh, you need to read this book. And I was already sort of on the bandwagon for dating multiple guys,
mm-hmm.
Which I love. I'm a huge advocate of that. But yeah, your book was awesome, and so that's how I discovered it. And word of mouth, it's really getting around a lot because people who have read the book and have tried it out are really experiencing great things.
They are. Now it's been, I guess, close to 5 years that it's been out. And now it's in 7 languages. It's worldwide. And I'm coaching women all over the world in places like Dubai and France and Germany. And to my shock, it is working pretty much everywhere.
Awesome. Well, and so tell us, you sucked at dating. Oh, and I got to put this out first, a little bit of a disclaimer today. Listener discretion is advised. We're going to try and keep it clean, but we've got 2 potty mouths here on the phone, oversharers. I'm a bit of an oversharer as well. So, but listener discretion is advised. And if you want to get on the air and ask Cindy Liu a question, the number is 604-822-2487. That's 604-822-2487. So tell us a little bit about your background and how you created the four-man plan.
Okay, well, I'm so glad this is the spiritual show because I can really talk about my journey a little bit with the unexpected wonderfulness of following your heart and experiencing a little pain and lifting yourself out of it in 2 ways. One was that I've been an actress for 20 years. My career was not bad. A lot of people would say it was quite good, but I always found myself playing small roles and in large venues, the Oregon Shakespeare Festival being a theater that I worked at, and then in multiple roles on television. And I started feeling like that wasn't right for me, and I needed more, and I needed to express myself more. So I created a one-woman show, and the topic of it was a lark based on a one-woman show class that I took. I gave the people there some ideas that I had, and when I talked about the four-man plan, which is something that I did for myself to heal myself through my love tragedies and dating disasters, everybody leaned forward and wanted to hear more about that. So I knew I had something there. I created the show in an attempt to feel satisfied in my acting career, but something else was completely born in that I really enjoyed creating material and performing that. And after the first workshop version, the women in the audience came up to me and said, we need the book because now we've heard enough to know that we want to follow the plan. And at that time, there was no book. So when I put up the full version of the show 4 months later, I was also able, through the help of my director and guide, Paul Link, who asked all the right questions, create a 99-page self-published version of the book along with the 75-minute show. From that, I had several surprising offers. One of them was a television show, and another one was a book agent, and also got my wonderful manager out of it. So out of taking this sort of leap of faith and gathering a lot of this material from the more spiritual side of me, I wish I could say that it was all my own intellect, but it was a mixture of that metaphor that I could wrap my brain around, and using what I had always done, which is, for some reason, I was always the woman that people came to for advice about their love life, even though mine was nothing to really be hold up as an example. For some reason, I could always give people great advice. So that all came together, and I ended up being published by Random House, and it's transformed my life into something that I feel expresses my purpose completely, which is that I love to help women find their true selves and empower themselves through their femininity and their intelligence and their analytical minds, and embrace the world of men and love in an entirely different way while accepting their full commitment to the creation of their experience, which is what we're all doing. And most importantly, making it fun.
Yay. Well, now, this book originally was intended for women, but who is benefiting from it right now?
Mostly it's women. I do have some men. The last radio interview I did was with a single man and a married man, actually, but he was interested in the four-woman plan. And for a while, I toyed with different versions of the plan. I thought about a version for younger women. I thought about a version for maybe, gay men or men, straight men. But I realized that the principles of the four-man plan are so universal that it really requires very small tweaks. So girls as young as 15, 16 who are just beginning to explore the world of men, I can advise just to, obviously, for me, I'd rather they not be physically intimate with any of the men in order, since they're, working with a small sample size generally within their school. That's the limitation I put on those girls. And they're also not looking for a husband. They're just looking for an experience with the opposite sex in which they can grow and learn about themselves and how they relate to men. With men, the adjustment is that I tell the men it's fine, because if a man is going to multiple date anyway, he may as well have a structure to it. And what I do to help keep the women that he's dating sane, I suggest not only that he tells them that they're dating, that he's dating other women, which is not that well received by women. As much as we appreciate honesty, we don't really know how to handle that. So I also suggest that a man doing the plan tell each woman about the four-man plan. So as he enters her into his graph, she enters him into her graph.
Wonderful. And now I've got to say, the four-man plan, the title's a little bit deceptive, because it's actually broken down even smaller to up to 16 men. And at the height of my dating shenanigans, the most I was able to juggle was 9 guys. And at one point, I think I kissed 9 guys in 1 week, and I started to get chapped lips because it was winter. I went to the doctor twice in fear that I had some awful kissing cootie disease. She assured me I was fine, but I mean, it was a lot to juggle. How do you manage 16 guys?
Well, what the 16 is, because a quarter man, right, which it's 4 whole men, which can break it broken down into quarter man, because so many people are online dating and they're being winked at, and you're shooting arrows. I mean, I don't even know all the technology of just expressing a little bit of interest. That quarter man is really for the guys that you've shown some interest in, or they've shown interest in you, and they have a way to contact you, and you haven't really gone on more than one date or have the man. So having the man meaning that you've told them that you're seeing other men. So I would say that the 16 is really like, let's say you go online and all of a sudden you're receiving all of this interest. It's really a way to limit you to 16 men. You can't go over in the graph. So as things become more serious, as you start having the man start kissing these guys, the space they take up in your graph enlarges to the point where you can only have two or three or four at a time.
Okay, so really, kissing 9 guys in a week, I was doing more than I should have been if I had been...
Overachieving.
This was before I read the book.
And maybe if you and I were in private coaching, I would have had you step it down just a little bit, or had you reevaluate the value of each man within your graph so that you could make choices.
Oh, but it was fun.
Oh, sure, you're like The Bachelorette, but in real life, right?
Yeah, and I wasn't.
I don't know if you guys have that show in Canada, but you know how
we
it
do
goes.
Now.
You're dating.
We do have The Bachelorette. It's just coming to Canada. Now that I have a boyfriend, I can't be on the show. Otherwise, I totally would be throwing my hat into the ring.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You'd be a perfect candidate. But and that's really what the experience is. It's a way for women to date multiple men, trying to pick one instead of going one at a time with the delusion of this is the one, this is the one, this is the one, this is the one, which is, it is sort of delusional. You probably will have to go through several before you find one that's really right. So why spend 6 months or a year or 9 months or for you, you know, a fun summer, which is fine, on one that probably isn't right for you?
Oh, well, there was the summer, and I was still dating other guys while I was with him.
Oh, good for you.
And
he would be your 2 1/4 if you had been on the plan at the time.
Yeah, I counted. When I sort of, because I broke up with him, and then we did sort of get back together and try again. And so I was sort of a little bit doing the plan, like in the back of my mind. He was my 2 1/4, and I was trying not to take on too many guys just because it's exhausting to have too many guys.
Well, and what I tell people, too, when they say, you know, I don't have time for all of these men, I don't have time to date, I have them consider, you know, what you're also doing. For us single gals, you know, we really know how to fill our lives with friends and our careers and all of our interests and hobbies. And really what the four-man plan asks each woman is to start making space for a real relationship, you know. And when you are in a real relationship, you know it's probably a phone call a day. It's at least one whole day on the weekend and two more, you know, maybe one or two more get-togethers during the week. And that's enough to do the four-man plan, and that's pretty much what you need to have a relationship. So as women say, like, I can't handle, it's like, well, do what you can, but with your eye on growing that space in your life for your love life, because we have to stretch out that space first before you can put a man in, or else that's going to be your first issue in your relationship is, oh my gosh, I don't have enough time for him, or suddenly I don't pay any attention to my friends or my career. You know, it's creating that balance.
Wonderful. Well, Cindy, it's already time for a break, so I'll put you on hold here. So we're speaking right now with Cindy Liu. She is the author of The Four-Man Plan, A Romantic Science. You can find her at theformanplan.com. I am your host, Marie Bernard. This is Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. And you might be listening in Vancouver at CITR 101.9 FM or online at CITR.ca, CosmicDimensions.com, EmpowerRadio.com, or on the Co-Creator Network. We'll be back with more Synchronicity in a moment.
Become a friend of CITR and get great discounts in the commercial drive area at
Audio Pile, Bone Rattle Music, High Life Records, and the People's Co-op Bookstore.
It pays to be a friend of CITR. To learn more, come visit us in room 233 of the sub on UBC campus, or check us out online at CITR.ca.
Welcome back to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and today we are talking with Cindy Liu. She is the author of The Four-Man Plan, A Romantic Science, and you can find her online at thefourmanplan.com if you want to check out more information about the book. And if you want to get on the air, I have a feeling maybe some people from Cindy Liu's Facebook group might be listening right now. And if you have a pressing question that you want to ask and you don't mind sharing with the airwaves, give us a call, 604-822-2487. That's 604-822-2487. And I will put you on the air and you can ask Cindy your question. Welcome back to the show, Cindy.
Hi.
Hi. So let's talk about now, the four-man plan is not just about finding a husband, because I frankly, if all I was looking for was a husband, I could have had one a long time ago.
Sure.
But we're looking for, number one, a good man who's going to treat us well, and someone who we feel our best around, who when we're with him, he's not draining us, he's not making us ill mentally and emotionally, but someone who is going to support our purpose and who we can support as well.
Absolutely.
So how is the four-man plan and dating multiple men different than what so many of us do? I know I made a little YouTube video about this yesterday, how a lot of people, before they sign up for the four-man plan, they go for the hormones, they go for the guys that get them hot, but really tend to treat them like crap. So how is the four-man plan different?
Well, I think what has been lacking in our culture is any sort of education as to how to select a mate or how to date. There was a time not that long ago where mates were selected for us, so we didn't have to do that. And then we sort of broke free into this, you know, free love and feminism and everything that has left us a bit adrift, right? So now I can't remember your original question.
We're talking about the difference between regular dating of psycho hotties.
One of the basic tenets of the four-man plan is that you have to, there's room for you to have a man or two that's your quote-unquote type in there. And I invite women to do that because then they can be in direct comparison to the type of man I encourage women to date, which is a man that qualifies as three things, which is honest, loving, and willing. Honest just being somebody who's very comfortable expressing the truth and that is not even caught up in his own lies, right? Somebody who's loving means that they can express affection and be a loving person. And the third is willingness, which is just that curiosity, that wanting to learn, wanting to improve themselves, as everybody is that puts themselves on a spiritual path is looking to do. So by including in your graph men that you know are honest, loving, and willing because they've never shown you any other side to themselves, but might not be your type, right? Because what we consider to be our type, we're not exactly sure where that's linked in. We don't know if it's because it's a daddy thing we're trying to solve or just a chemistry issue or a hormonal thing. You know, baby-making thing. A lot of times we're incredibly attracted to men simply because we would make a strong offspring with them. So by including men that are honest, loving, and willing, and seeing if you can even attract that, you can see for yourself where your vibrational level is of what you're attracting. And then at some point on the plan, so for some girls it takes them a few weeks, and others it takes them a few months, every man in their plan is at least honest, loving, and willing. And at that point, you're looking for someone that is a match, you know, someone that you're really excited about, somebody that shares your values and your lifestyle ideas and that sort of thing. So you can then select from that pool of honest, loving, and willing men. And the only way that you can attract an entire pool of honest, loving, and willing men is to surrender to being that way yourself all the time.
Beautifully said. And I think I want to share, I've shared so much about my dating in the last year. I started, in like January, February of last year, I started dating. And now it's last Valentine's Day. I had a date with a 24-year-old guy who I had to remind while he was texting during our dinner that if he wanted to be alone with whoever he was texting with, I could easily go and find something else to do.
Uh-huh.
And now I have an amazing, loving boyfriend who is fantastic, and I'm not allowed to talk too much about him because he's
That's a little bit private.
But, I mean, what a year it's been, and I've really learned so much about myself through mm-hmm. all the different types of men that I dated, because it was really... It started out as an experiment because I had spent so much time being single. Like, I was living with an ex and we were best friends. And so it was kind of like we were an old married couple. And so the idea of going out there and dating, frankly, was kind of terrifying.
Oh, sure.
So I started just dating. I started just kind of going out with whoever didn't scare the hell out of me. Mm-hmm. And it just kind of went from there. And I slowly started to learn what I wanted, what I needed. I noticed sort of what I was attracting and had an opportunity to spend more time sorting out some of my many, many, many issues that came up. I mean, how was it for you when you were looking for your three and three quarters, is it?
Three and a half, whatever, not quite four. Well, I think you had the same sort of realization that I had, that so many women had, which is that the current way of going about things just isn't working, isn't producing the love relationship or experience that we want to have in our lives. So, you know what I love about Valentine's Day, and I do want to touch on that a little bit, is that it's sort of like New Year's for love. You know, I think each holiday has its own great value in that it's just going to push a certain button and have you look at something in a new way, and it's a little demarcation. So I like to look at Valentine's Day as just a moment to assess where you are, and perhaps it's a turning point. You know, perhaps you can sit down and say, like, you know what, I am rudderless in my dating life, and that was where I became. It's like, why is everything a disaster? Everything end in heartache and failure, partly just because it was so aimless. You know, so what I really wanted to do was invite a structure in that I could push against. You know, that's all structures are really for, is they provide us with something to cause resistance. And when you feel that inner resistance, that's when you really get to look at where you are. You know, so I want single women to really embrace Valentine's Day as an opportunity to feel that resistance and see where they are and set themselves on a new path. Because that's what I did. I decided I'm just going to change everything about what I do. There's this great episode of Seinfeld where Jerry and George decide that George's life is such a disaster that in order to improve things, he would have to do the opposite of everything he would normally do.
Yeah,
and that would
that
automatically produce a better result because his decision-making process was so bad. And that was my starting point. My starting point, if it's a guy that I would normally say no to, I'm going to say yes to him. You know, I'm going to invite this change into my life and reconsider all of my built-in programming as being completely flawed. You know, that was the first part of the theory. It's like perhaps everything I'm doing is flawed in some way based on some historical programming or something that I've saw in a fairy tale that I'm latched onto or something I watched on Sex and the City that I'm hooked into. You know, I just wanted to see what was guiding me.
So, Cindy, I want to clarify, though, with the healthy, loving, willing.
Honest,
yeah.
Healthy is also
honest,
good.
Yeah. Healthy and honest. Honest, willing, loving. So you said that you were sort of doing the opposite of, and you were going out with guys you wouldn't normally go out with. But now, is there... because you don't necessarily know if a guy who just asks you out online or at a coffee shop or whatever, you don't know if he's honest, willing, and loving right off the bat. So how do you determine and what, I mean, do you just go out with any old person on the street? How do you determine that?
Well, I think, you know, we have our intuition and we have our instincts. And what I tell women is, like, just set that into your radar, that what you're looking to attract is honest, loving, and willing, just as a place to start. And if you see any red flags to the contrary, right, then it's time to think, like, okay, maybe this guy isn't honest. Like, if you observe him, you know, lying on the phone to someone else when he's with you about where he is, that's a red flag. Even if seems charming and flattering at the time, right, that's like, okay, he's being dishonest to that person on the phone, maybe to my benefit, right, but it's still dishonest. So it's just a way to sort of set your intention of this is what I'm looking for. Then as you go online and you're in person, you know, just yes, I do encourage women to say yes to many more dates and invitations than they normally would. But, you know, the flip side of that is that if anyone gives you that icky feeling, that feeling of diminishment of yourself or just something isn't right there, to listen to that and not ignore that sensation, but also not dismiss guys you think are too sweet or friend material or not your type.
Well, I have to say the friend material guys, I mean, those are really the guys, because guys can grow on you.
Mm-hmm.
And those friend guys, you know, I mean, what was it, like 16 Candles or the movie with Molly Ringwald and Ducky? And, you know, I mean, he was just so adorable. And, like, you want a guy like that who's going to be there for you. And then you can slowly, you know, see if something develops. I mean, ideally, that is one of the types of guys that would be better for you than just the guy who's going to make good babies, right?
Ultimately, yeah, I think that a lot of women overlook the good guy. I think partly out of a little bit of fear that we would hurt them. I hear that all the time, like, this guy is so sweet, I don't see a future with him, so I just want to end it now so I don't hurt him.
Oh my gosh, I'm not the only one who thinks that.
I thought that all the time. In fact, my own husband now was such a great guy that I tried to set him up with someone else because I didn't want to crush his little spirit, because I thought that I was just such a juggernaut with men. You know, either I would be destroyed or I would destroy. I didn't really know how else to function. And I didn't want to throw him to the wolves like that, you know. So I wanted to protect him, but that's not my job. You know, that's not really any of our jobs to protect anybody else when we're dating, as long as we're being honest, loving, and willing. There are so many guys now that are wonderful husband, boyfriend material that are just absolutely gun-shy because they see these complete jerks getting all the women. You know, so they've holed themselves up and they're not putting themselves out there. And so we almost have to coax these guys back into the game because they really are the ones that we're looking for. And when girls say, like, I can't find any guys, I know that there are just millions of guys, you know, screaming, like, I'm right here, nobody's looking at me. And they're angels. And I can't tell you how grateful I am that I went through this process of exploring this man, my husband, who initially was a client of mine. I'm an energy healer and a channeler, and so he came to me as a client initially after we first met. And I worked with him for 4 or 5 months, all the while he was observing me doing the plan. He'd see, you know, dates come and go. He had lunch with my 2 1/4 one day. And when I finally included him in the plan, it took a long time for him to sort of overtake everyone else, but in direct comparison, I realized, like, he's the one that made me feel good all the time. He never made me cry, and it seemed like that was my habit, was picking men who really knew how to make me cry. So now, 11 years later, he is just, like, the sexiest, most exciting, most fascinating human being. I just can't wait to lay my eyes on him and hear what he's done for the day and, you know, just share everything with him the way that I used to think it was those bad boys causing those feelings in me, you know, but it really wasn't.
Oh my gosh, I'm doing like the little claps. Yay! I'm so excited for you. I'm so happy for you. Okay, well, it's time.
I'm so happy for me too. I mean, honestly, I tell people, you know, the reason why I share my story in the beginning of the book is because I'm a rags to riches story. You know, Earl and I call ourselves like lovenaires, you know, because we are billionaires when it comes to love, and we started, both of us, with nothing. You know, no family to look back on and say, that's how a relationship is done. That's what love looks like. You know, we had no idea. So to get to where we are, we celebrate it every day.
Oh, I just love it. Oh, I'm getting all fluttery and so, yay.
Good, you're not jaded.
No. Okay, well, it's time for a break, so we'll be back with more synchronicity in a moment. Right now, we are speaking with Cindy Liu. She is the author of The Four-Man Plan, A Romantic Science. I'm Marie Bernard, the host of Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. This is CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. And if you want to get on the air and ask Cindy Liu a question, I realize this topic, it's a little bit, I mean, I'm an oversharer, so I have no problem talking too much about my love life, probably more so than my partner would be comfortable with. But if you, you can like disguise your voice if you want to call in 604-822-2487. That's 604-822-2487. I promise we'll be gentle on you. Okay, so we'll be back with more synchronicity in a moment.
Born in Halifax, Nova Scotia, Faith Nolan is an award-winning singer-songwriter, film producer, and ardent advocate for social justice. Her music and politics are one and the same, both firmly entrenched in her experiences as a queer woman of African, Mi'kmaq, and Irish heritage, raised in the working-class neighborhood of Regent Park, Toronto. Over the course of her career as a musician, she has recorded 14 albums, the most recent of which, Hang On Cupe, was released in 2009. For more information about the Queering Black History 2011 recipient, Faith Nolan, go to her website at www.faithnolan.org. And now, a selection from Faith's music, a track titled, Where Can I Run?
Where can I run? Where can I hide? You stole my body, now you're torturing my mind. You come in the night when my eyes close. Scream and run for my life, you're the nightmare.
This PSA was brought to you in support of Black History Month on CITR 101.9 FM.
Welcome back to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. Happy Valentine's Day. I got into the station today and someone had sent me a letter with little wooden hearts in the envelope. So thank you. I love it when I get, I don't know if I want to call it fan mail, but I love getting mail and email. You can go to my website, spiritualshow.com, and you can follow me on Twitter. I'm Marie Bernard. I've got a Facebook page and a synchronicity page. I love hearing from listeners from all over the world about, you know, how whatever episode you've listened to has made some kind of difference in your life. So, please do communicate that with me if you feel so inclined. And today we are speaking with another life-changing person. She is Cindy Liu, author of The Four-Man Plan, A Romantic Science. And she's really figured out a way to kind of transform the drama of dating and create something that is much more meaningful and an opportunity for both men and women to really grow and become better people. So thank you so much for that, Cindy.
Thank you.
Yay. So now let's talk about, unless there's something that you feel is more important, I'd like to talk about sort of the differences. You mentioned that you had been with a lot of guys who were really good at making you cry.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's, for me, like my last boyfriend over the summer, and then it was on again, off again, on whatever, you know, he wasn't a player. He was one of those guys. We started out as friends. I had the worries that I was going to hurt him. And, you know, he's really kind of a gentle soul. And yet at the same time, even though he had the best of intentions and certainly was not a player by any means, he also was not really in a place where he could take proper care of my heart. So what do you do with that when you find yourself in love with someone who has the best of intentions but just isn't the right one?
Well, you know, just that phrase, take proper care of your heart, would mean that there it wasn't time or wasn't the connection that you needed to go that next step. Because really, until you're in a consciously negotiated monogamous relationship, we're not required to do that for each other, right? In fact, even within a relationship, we're not really required to do that with each other, except that we want to help each other heal. So it's not anything against him, you know. I think you've said some lovely things about him. It just wasn't the right connection at the right time for you to take it to that next step.
Yeah. And it was kind of interesting because I don't know if I should share this, but
Here we go.
Get ready for it. We decided that we were going to be friends and, well, tried to be. And so we had a conversation the other night and he had confided in me that, he was feeling, we got a lot cleared up and he was feeling like he had kind of screwed up the best thing that ever happened to him and yada, yada, yada. And, which I can appreciate because a lot of times, you know, you feel that and you never hear that feedback. So, I mean, it did feel good on some level to hear that. Yet, it wasn't long after that we had a disagreement where he said something and I was being overly sensitive and whatever. And we kind of, he wasn't able to apologize for hurting my feelings. And I feel like right there, I was like, well, this is why we broke up. Because I even said to him, I was like, listen, I know I'm being irrational. I know I'm overreacting. I'm sorry that you're annoyed with me. And I just need you to say, I'm sorry for hurting your feelings. So we're not fighting anymore.
Right.
And he was like, well, I'm annoyed, blah, blah, blah. And I actually said to him, I'm like, okay, you told me that I was the best thing that ever happened to you. And now you're telling me that you're willing to risk the friendship that we are trying to have because you're annoyed right now. And and his response was, yeah, well, yeah, because I'm really pissed off.
Okay, so was this during the relationship or after?
This was just recently after. We're broken up.
Yeah, I think, well, we all have so many versions of ourselves. You know, there's the divine self that we can connect to with other people, and that's that great in love feeling. And then there's the many other puppeted ego versions that come out and fight and dance and, you know, do their little numbers. And when we are ego to ego, there's no winner. Put it that way. But I think a lot of times that comes out as a defense mechanism. I think putting the friend whammy on a guy that really was in love with you is a very hard pill to swallow, especially now that you find yourself happily in a relationship and he's probably still sorting out what his culpability and responsibility for the path taken is. So I think direct friendly contact with you now, although it sounds like a good idea, he's probably just not ready for. So he's pushing you away in the only way that his ego knows how, which is to kind of hurt you, you know, so that maybe you'll not want to be friends with him. So that would be my 2-cent, you know, coaching thing for you, and just to have a lot of compassion for him and also recognize that you took that opportunity to take something personally, which is always great to notice. It's always something fun to work on, to see where you are with that. And just to share a lot of compassion with him, and maybe it's time to let him go for a while until he comes to a place where you can both be friends and find a reason for that friendship, you know, some thing other than, like, I don't want to be the bad guy.
Okay.
For continuing the friendship, like some co-creative thing that you guys can be doing together.
Well, I mean, the reason that I brought it up is, I mean, I totally get, I've after this, it's like, yeah, let's just, maybe we can pick this up some other time in the future as friends. But the reason I brought it up is because this was classic behavior pattern that happened while we were together. And so is that, I mean, he's not a bad person, but clearly, I mean, if you're in a relationship with someone who is behaving that way, is that time to let him go, or do you try and work on that?
I think it's really a case-by-case basis. You know, I see so many potentially great connections split up over something that is an unexpressed truth or some withholding or, you know, more along those lines. I think, you know, not everybody stays together. Certainly not everybody stays together forever. But when relationships have that clean feeling, it's because every reason of breaking up was over the truth, you know. And I think there's just a little stagnation there for him, because you know that when he would say things like that, that's not really who he is. But if he doesn't have control over that, if he doesn't have any self-awareness that he can switch over to being this sort of meaner, hurtful version of himself, that's when we have to start thinking about, like you said, if he can't take care of your heart, then that's up to you to do. You know, so if he's got this version of himself that he's not aware of that's really hurtful, that is when you step away and take care of your own spirit.
Okay, fair enough. And so, Cindy, what we've only got about 18 minutes left in the show, and we're going to have to take another break in a couple of minutes. So maybe I should do that first before we get into another bit of conversation here. So we are speaking with Cindy Liu. She is the author of The Four-Man Plan, A Romantic Science. You can find her at thefourmanplan.com online, and her book is available all over the place. And she's also on Facebook. Her name's Cindy Liu, and the group, The Four-Man Plan. If it's a closed group, how do people find it, Cindy?
You know, somebody asked me this the other day. I'm a secret club. I think, you know, I did have a forum on my website, but I think the thing to do now is we're going to be building a fan page very soon. Just friend me directly. My Facebook page is my fan page right now. So that's just my name, Cindy Liu, L-U. And I'm the Asian girl with the pink top on.
Perfect. Okay. So we'll be back with more synchronicity in just a moment.
Become a friend of CITR and get great discounts in the commercial drive area at
Audio Pile, Bone Rattle Music, High Life Records, and the People's Co-op Bookstore.
It pays to be a friend of CITR. To learn more, come visit us in room 233 of the sub on UBC campus, or check us out online at citr.ca.
Friday, February 18th, you won't want to miss Grimes with special guests Born Gold. Grimes is back in town from Montreal, on tour to support her upcoming new release, Visions. Advance tickets are available at the Northern Tickets box office, located at the Vogue Theatre on Granville Street, and are also available at Red Cat, Zulu, and High Life Records. Again, that's an early show with Doors at 7 and the show at 8 at Fortune Sound Club with Grimes and Born Gold. Grimes and Born Gold at the Fortune Sound Club is proudly sponsored by CITR.
Welcome back to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and coming up in about 15 minutes is Parts Unknown, and Chris Arific is not feeling very rific today, so I'm going to be playing a podcast for him, but hopefully you can stick around for that. And right now we are speaking with Cindy Liu. She's the author of The Four-Man Plan, A Romantic Science. Welcome back to the show, Cindy.
Hi.
Hi. So I want to ask you, what's the most important thing that you want to get across to listeners today?
Well, seeing as that it's about to be Valentine's Day, and I know a lot of single gals, you know, myself, I would have called it Black Tuesday. And I was in the service industry a long time. I was a waitress and a cocktail waitress. And I remember that I would always sort of be asked to work on Valentine's Day because I was single and it seemed like I didn't care. But it was a kind of a dark day for me. And so if any single women are out there thinking that, you know, they're alone, I just want them to really embrace their singlehood in a new way. It's not a means to an end. If you're dating or if you're, you know, not dating yet and don't know what to do about being single, but you feel sort of trapped by it, I want the women out there to really feel like this is such an incredible opportunity. And when you get to be a married lady like me, you know, and it's been 11 years, 12 years since I've been on a date or had that rush of excitement of just like, it's just every day a brand new adventure with a different man and a different experience. If I didn't have my wonderful dating single life to reflect on, I would really miss that. And if I didn't enjoy my dating life, I would sort of feel like I missed out, because as much as I love being married, there is a deliciousness to the segment of being single that is really to be embraced and experienced right now, knowing like this is great. Being single is an opportunity that I'm not going to have later because I'm going to find somebody wonderful, and that this is a kind of, you know, like it's like college before you find a job. It's like being child-free before you have a child. It's like it's a complete freedom. So rather than feeling down about it, I'd love to women to really feel that freedom. And then the second thing is, if they feel like they don't have a date to go on or anywhere to be that day, is to consider the most important relationship they have right now, which is them and then themselves. And I'll be more specific and say them and their bodies, right? Because sometimes we're sort of separate. We can be mean to our bodies or dismissive to our bodies or just bossy, right? Like, get it done, do this, you're too fat here and you're not developed there, and all of the things that we do to ourselves. So maybe take Valentine's Day to have a sensual, perhaps even erotic, loving date with your own body. So if you don't have anything to do, then take that bubble bath and, you know, really cherish yourself and nourish yourself with foods that you love and honor your own body on that day.
I love that. Have a date with yourself.
Yeah, like have a date with yourself. You know, it's something that we don't do often enough. And people who are married and have children and the families and everything that, you know, a single girl is dreaming about, trust me, they are dreaming about a 2-hour, you know, champagne sipping bubble bath by themselves or whatever else you come up with that rejuvenates your spirit and your soul in connection with your body.
Beautifully said. Oh, thank you so much, Cindy. I'm really, I feel like, actually, I posted this on your group and on my wall the other day. Now that I'm in a relationship, I actually last year felt I wasn't too concerned with Valentine's Day because I was dating so many people and it was just sort of like, meh, you know. But now that I'm in a relationship and it's our first Valentine's Day, I suddenly felt all of this pressure.
Yes. Yeah.
And so, I mean, is that normal? How did you experience your first Valentine's Day with Earl?
Well, God, I don't even remember. Well, it was pretty early in our relationship, too, because I remember we had established our monogamy right around the new year. But, you know, like I said, I really see more these holidays as a demarcation of reflection and accessing and understanding where you are. And I think a great thing to do is to allow whatever happens to happen and let it be organic. I know there was a girl in the group that was like, I'm going to have sex on Valentine's Day, you know, and it's just, that's like so much pressure. I think it's a great way to let whatever feels natural or inorganic happen. And if your boyfriend now, and he hasn't known you that long, right, and he does whatever gesture he's going to do, or, you know, and the other thing I discourage is for women to say, we're not going to celebrate Valentine's Day.
That's,
you know what I mean?
I
like,
did.
Let's just pass right over it. You know, like, it's not important to me. When they're really doing is trying to manage their expectations and levels of disappointment that they feel they're going to experience. So
that's what
really,
I did, Cindy.
I really wanted to let it be a point of allowing where whatever he does or doesn't do is just perfect and beautiful. And if he gets you something that's completely wrong for you or not something you would ever want, then just, you know, think about how charming it is that he even made an attempt. And if he doesn't, that's okay, too. Earl and I have decided, and Earl and I are not into celebrating Christmas or holidays or anything, but we do get nostalgic on the day, you know, so I'm sure I'll scrawl together some card for him with a drawing on it. And but what we have decided is that since our five-year anniversary is on March 10th, that we're going to save the super sappy stuff for March 10th. But I have to say, we're so sappy all the time. We just came off of the most romantic evening of just hanging out together and horseback riding and cooking and enjoying each other's company and having a full sex life. We don't really know where to go with it on Valentine's Day. So I wish for everyone that that would be their situation, you know, that their life is so full of love that it's just a way to say, and today this is where we are.
Yay.
And because it's your first Valentine's Day, and 10 years from now it's going to be completely different. So just be like, and today, on this Valentine's Day, this is where we are, and it's lovely.
Well, he's out of town right now, so, but I don't know if you saw on my Facebook page, he actually surprised me with, had flowers delivered on the 10th.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, so it was totally unexpected, and even better than getting them on Valentine's Day when everyone else did, so, yeah.
Right, right. And so this is your first Valentine's Day together, and this is where you are, and it's beautiful. It's just beautiful.
And so, Cindy, before we go, I also want to ask you about approaching men, because that's a big hot topic. Some people, some dating experts say never approach a man. And with the four-man plan, you say go out there, don't be a stalker. But yeah, it's fine to give a guy your card or say, hey, let's go for coffee. So how do you approach that and why?
Okay, so what I say is that, you know, for me, and I still do this, when I'm out in the world, I can't not approach men. That's not possible. You know, and my modus operandi is to always treat men like they're a man and always behave like I'm a woman, right? And so, like, I was out with a couple of four-man planners the other night, a couple girlfriends, and we went to this gelato stand, and they were just this beautiful Italian man serving us gelato, and he engaged us in conversation, he let us taste all these flavors, and all I wanted, the, you know, one of the girls who was clearly interested to do was at the end of it simply pass her email address or information. You know, she ended up giving him her card and just saying, like, here you go. Like, it was really nice talking to you. Here you go. Right? And he can do whatever with that as he wishes. She happens to be an acupuncturist. So, you know, the same thing happened with me and my husband. It was like I met him sitting next to him at a bar. I initiated the conversation. It went extremely well. And by the end of the evening, I just said, here's my information if you want to contact me. He ended up contacting me as a client, but you know where that went. So I just say it's not about approaching men like I'm going to have a date with you, it's or I like you or I think you're hot. It's natural interactions in which you open a door upon your exit.
Mm, beautiful. Okay, so it's not about, you're making it clear that it's not about taking the male role of being the pursuer.
No, it doesn't have to be, but it's like being a woman in every encounter, allowing a man to be a man in every encounter, and just leaving your information upon the exit. That's really all it means. And we run into people, talk to people all the time. You know, so other than online dating, that's definitely a way to go about it. And if you want to go up to a guy and tell him that you think he's hot and would love to go out with him sometime, that's okay too. You know, whatever the spirit moves you to do, it's just, you know, let your fears excite you, not hold you back.
And so, Cindy, now that you are happily married, how often do you flirt with guys like Gelato Man?
Oh, I wouldn't consider myself a flirt because now it's not an open door at the end, right? Now it's just the experience of the encounter. And so Earl and I are fully comfortable with letting ourselves fall in love with everyone we encounter, male or female, and letting them fall in love with us, having great energetic, emotional, and spiritual, physical boundaries set in place. So, I mean, that's really heaven on earth, is when you can just go out into the world and be in love and fall in love with everyone. And I'm sure you're noticing a difference as you're newly in love, that what is reflected back at you is just that much more beautiful, right?
Oh, definitely.
And so I walk into the world full of love, with as much love to give to everybody as I can, you know, allowing myself to be, have a sexual essence and have a female essence and have all my intelligence and everything intact, and let people fall for it as I look for that divine in them.
Beautifully said.
But now there's no phone numbers being passed around. Put it that way.
Of course. Well, Cindy, it's time to wrap up the show. Thank you so much for being on Synchronicity today. It's been such a pleasure. Is there anything that you want to add before we say goodbye?
I just want men and women to know that, you know, this life is supposed to be fun, and the pursuit of love, which has opened up to us in our culture to express in any way we want, is to really embrace the rareness of that through the history of humanity, that we have this thing called falling in love, and that we have absolutely free choice with it. And we can get stymied by the limitless options of those choices. And so the four-man plan is just a way to introduce a structure into that so we can make it fun for ourselves. After all, we're ethereal beings that are placed into a structure or form of the body. So something ethereal like love placed into a structure or form like the four-man plan only makes it a more exciting place to play. So just, it's supposed to be fun. They should be having fun.
Oh, thank you so much, Cindy. It's been such a pleasure, and happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day to you. Looks like you already got your lovely goodie, and I'm sure there's more to come.
Yeah. Okay, well, have a great day. Take care.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. So that was Cindy Liu. She is the author of The Four-Man Plan. You can find her at TheFourManPlan.com, and she's also on Facebook, and she has a Facebook group. So TheFourManPlan.com, and I just want to send my love to you. Thank you so much for listening and participating in this show with me, because without you listening, there would really be no show. I'd just be talking to myself. So thank you so much, and thanks to Cindy, and I hope that you have a wonderful Valentine's Day, whether you are in a relationship or whether you're in a relationship with yourself. Please remember to take some time and be good to yourself and fall in love with the world around you. Sending my love your way. Be well. Take care. Namaste.